Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to tonight's episode of Unpopular Opinions. My name is Mike.
I'm Pat, and I'm sorry.
Y'all, we start with the I'm sorry, first and foremost. Probably we're sorry to our listeners, and maybe even more sorry to Sean Leahy, and maybe even more sorry to a good friend of ours who happens to work for a technical conglomerate in the upper left-hand corner of these United States.
I believe they call that the Pacific Northwest.
Yes. Skype is broken, so we cannot, unfortunately, talk to Sean Leahy and take him to task for the fact of NBC Sports, or actually NHL on NBC, today promoted the top 10 duos in the National Hockey League and listed Goudreau and Monahan over Svechnikov and Hamilton. Pat, what say you?
Well, first, I'm going to make sure to submit a bug report to Skype that, you know, apparently when two people who have attended NHL drafts have been attacked by Death Eaters, when you try and get them together, things just don't work.
Yeah, it goes poorly.
How great of a duo is Johnny Hockey and the most boring man in Alberta when they're not doing a goddamn thing?
Yeah, I mean, I think between the two of them, they have, what, 13 goals?
I was going to say negative two. So, yeah, 13 sounds...
I think it's 8-5 collectively on the season. It's just not great things are happening, and we can go into diatribes about Central Canadian hockey teams. But tonight, Pat in studio with me. Unfortunately, Derek could not be here. Derek came down with a case of, what are we making up tonight?
I can't even pronounce it. I believe it's Vigis Susie?
Yes, potentially that's it.
A future third liner on the Toronto Maple Leafs next season. But some sort of disease.
Yeah,
as
Pat,
well.
Pat filling in for Derek tonight. And again, our apologies to Sean Leahy and all the good folks at Skype. We're about to see just a ton of nasty grams to us. But you guys are going to be worse for it because now you get to listen to Pat and I all night talk about unpopular opinions. Live in game update. Pat, how are the Canes and Blackhawks looking?
Dougie Hamilton is still alive.
Yes, which is good. Dougie, early in the first period, took a puck off the inside of the leg, went to the room, but is back, still with two legs, which is good things, which is more than we could say for Eric Halla.
Hopefully he still has one good leg.
Yeah. We'll talk about that on tonight of tonight's episode of Unpopular Opinions. We've got a 3-game winning streak to talk about. At least
your desk is made of wood, correct?
Yes. At least at the time of this recording, plenty of live end game updates, your cheat mail, and again, no Sean Leahy. Maybe we'll just make up very Irish Long Island things and say them in his honor.
Nah.
Is it worth the effort? You know, when you can't have the best, you can't fake it.
No, it's not worth trying.
Hey, Pat.
Yes.
Hit that damn X button.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to this, the Unpopular Opinions edition of Cheaters Never Win. My name's Mike. I've got Pat here in the studio with me. As usual, we are sponsored by the great folks over at New Belgium Brewing, providing all of the beer that you want to consume at all of our tailgates, as well as Dawn from Fathom Realty. She is the @Caniac_Realtor. And let's get back to those awful opinions. And Pat, as usual, big thanks to our sponsors. Dawn from Fathom Realty, she is @Caniac_Realtor.
Respect the underscore.
She normally sponsors the guest line, but Skype has completely effed the... after the guest line tonight.
Might I say the Pacific Northwest does not respect sponsors?
No. They do not respect the underscore. They do not respect sponsors. But thanks from Dawn from Fathom Realty. If you're buying a home, selling a home, without a home, need a home, Dawn is your person. She is awesome. Check her out. Also, Pat, tonight we are enjoying beverages. We would not be here tonight were it not for the official tailgate sponsor of Section 328, the good folks at New Belgium. Met with Chris Allen, who is the local rep for New Belgium, earlier today.
Oh.
Two minimum live podcast coming to you that we're working on with him, including some special guests. Potentially, we're working on a couple of venues, not going to blow anything out, but it's going to be much nicer than we've had before, with phenomenal guests, potentially better than we've had before. I don't know if anybody's going to be better than Shane Willis. It's going to be tough to top that, but Chris is helping us work on a few of those. So a couple of live podcasts and also some New Belgium sponsored tailgates coming up in the very near future, where you're going to be able to join us out in the East Lot, drink some delicious brew, and just enjoy some tailgate for some Carolina Hurricanes games. Canes back on home ice this weekend, Saturday, against the Florida Panthers for Hockey Fight Cancer Night. We're going to talk a little bit about that near the end of the podcast, so stick around for that. But Pat, I'd like to talk to you. Canes, 4-game losing streak, now winning on the road. What's changed with this club that leads you to believe the success is back?
It was Hall's return for me.
Okay.
This team is... I'm still trying to figure them out. So they just hit the 20-game mark after the game in Minnesota.
Yes.
And that's usually kind of your barometer. All right, this is the team they're going to be. You know, the first 10 games is just, you know, voodoo and wizardry and other choice words that our sponsors might not want to hear yet.
Goaltending.
Don't go there with me.
Goaltending is voodoo.
We haven't started the unpopular opinions yet. We'll get there. No, so when they had a fully healthy lineup, quote-unquote healthy lineup, everything just kind of clicked. People were in their right places. I think finally keeping Aho, Svesh, and Teravainen together, seeing Brendan Moore kind of run with his horses,
yep,
in both good times and bad.
I do want to say that on the last episode of this podcast, I called for the resurrection of Aho, Teravainen, and Svesh, pulled them together in the next game, have won every game since. Not that I'm taking credit for being Rod Brendan Moore-like, but if I were chiseled, smart, and actually had a positive career that I could rest my laurels on, I mean, I might take credit.
Here's the problem. You're not recording right now on an exercise bike. So you can't even say Brendan Moore light.
Yeah, you're right. So you're right.
So having everybody back, everything just kind of clicks.
And it feels like the defense is maybe playing a little bit more like it played at the beginning of the season. I don't know. I felt a little bit like those during that 4-game losing streak, that we were back on our heels to start the game, and then we were taking unnecessary risks at the second half of the game. And now it feels like the horses of this team, which, let's be honest, the biggest horses on this team, not named Aho, Teravainen, and Svechnikov, play defense, are being, I guess, more confident with our game. I don't know, playing with a little bit more something, but it just feels better.
And they're getting the lead early. So it's taken a little bit off the horses too, where they're not having to take risks.
And maybe for me, one of the biggest changes has been the fact that Joel Edmondson is now playing with Brett Pesce on the second line. It's freeing Brett Pesce up to play a little bit better, a little bit smarter. And everybody's favorite excuse, which is the fourth, fifth defenseman on this team, which has been the excuse for the last 5 or 6 years. His name is now Jake Gardner.
Jake from State Farm.
Jake from State Farm. We love his khakis and we love his bobbleheads. But he is... now down on the third pair, playing second power play minutes, and maybe something that's a little bit more appropriate for how he's been playing of late. What say you 20 game into this season of Mistake Jake?
I loved him in the first 10. And then I think when they hit the 4-game losing stretch, he just had a brutal stretch of his own. So I think mixing up the pairings, I think Pesce has a weird defense sometimes. He's excellent by himself. When you keep him on the right side, like half the year last year, it probably took him 15, 20 games to get used to playing his offside. But as soon as he settles in, and he's got to get comfortable with the partner, and I just don't think it worked with Jake right away,
mm-hmm.
and that's fine. So now that he's settled in, I think the fact that the quote-unquote second unit power play has kind of taken the mantle as the top spot, mm-hmm. I think we'll... take some pressure off Jake, and I think, you know, we'll be sitting here in mid-January. One power play unit will start to struggle, and then he'll probably have his time to shine.
Yeah. Again. And you know, I think it's a combination of little things too. On the pregame forecast or the pregame broadcast tonight of Hurricane Watch with Forslund Tripp and a very healthy and dare I say sexy as F looking Mike Maniscalco. Joel Edmondson recently changed his stick to a lighter stick that allows him to play a little bit more quickly with the stick. And he says it seems like it's made a dramatic improvement in his game. And while he was the lone Kane who had not scored, I mean, he's put up, what, 4 or 5 points in the last couple of games.
He had a 3-game point streak.
Yeah. So steady Eddie looking good. Pat, live in-game update live from Chicago. Current score, Carolina Hurricanes 1, Chicago Blackhawks 0. Goal off the stick of number 88, but number 1 in your heart, Party Nachos. As our buddy Canalytics said earlier today, I want to take Party Nachos and treat them like Baby Yoda.
I haven't watched The Mandalorian yet, so I no comment.
Yeah.
But I will say...
For those of you who haven't watched it, spoiler, Baby Yoda's in The Mandalorian.
Oh, I think half the population of planet Earth knows that already.
Well, and the other population's going to complain to us on Twitter.
But you know what they don't know?
What?
Nate Just is second in rookie scoring right now.
Ooh.
Behind the front runner, Kale McCarr with the Avalanche, who I don't know who they pissed off, who they hurt, but someone put a curse on that team.
Yeah. I don't know. Shout out to our buddy McWinnon, who is just loving the Kale McCarr bandwagon, and that kid's playing crazy. But oh, yeah. Party Nachos playing really well on that third line, and I was a little concerned that I was like Walmart Niederreiter Nachos doesn't have the same feeling as Dzingel Hala Nachos. But the kid's still delivering. Yes. He's finding his shot, and I think he's getting comfortable. Use a bad term. I think he's getting comfortable in his own skates because his speed is now showing where he's actually blowing past guys, knowing that he can still defensively get back if he needs to. How long does it generally take a player who's in their first year like Nachos is to kind of get comfortable? Is the 20 game mark that spot? The folks at the Athletic had a neat article today talking about how long it takes to get acclimated for the Montreal Canadiens. So how do you extrapolate that to where Marty's at in his game?
I'm going to say it's going to take him another 10 to 15 games to really get comfortable. He looks very similar to all the highlights you saw with the Charlotte Checkers.
Yep.
During their Calder Cup run. The biggest difference is there's too much straight line speed in the AHL, and you don't have that extra probably half second to three quarters of a second in the NHL, which means his decision making is just as quick. He's just finding his spots a lot better. Now, we might talk about Hall's injury a little more, but I wonder if he continues on this pace, continues to look comfortable, keep Hallmark where he is at 4C, would you slide him into the middle with, say, a Martinook and a Dzingel, or a Martinook and a Niederreiter?
Interesting question. Do you slide him into the... You know, there's been a lot of talk around Kane's Twitter of, you know, do you look to your further defensive depth a la former first-round draft pick who's sitting in the press box, or maybe somebody who, you know, is in the vicinity of a steak sauce and trade them for a 3C. But you may be onto something there. Do we legitimately have the 3C already on this team? And do you then look to somebody like a Julien Gauthier, or as you said, a Jordan Martinook, or I've got to catch hell for this, my client, Brock McGinn, as a third liner there. I think you need to put some speed with Nachos. What I worry about is, like, if you have Niederreiter and McGinn or Niederreiter and Martinook as his wings, it's going to be one man against a Flurry just because nobody else is going to be able to keep up with him.
Yeah, so I would say if you need a speed guy, it has to be Dzingel, despite how well he's playing right now with Jordan Staal. Like, Dzingel single-handedly, well, I should say, 3-1 goal scored by McLovin himself.
Yep.
Against Minnesota. Jordan Staal drives, takes the puck in the zone, makes his brother look like a damn fool.
I'm sorry. Sorry, Jordan Staal has a brother?
He has a couple, apparently.
I'm familiar with the one who played in Scotland. I'm familiar with Jared. The one who played... currently plays for the New York Metropolitans, but there's a third.
I'm sorry, that's no longer a franchise.
Oh, okay,
I believe they're the New Jersey Metropolitans. Okay. No, you're talking about Mark Staal.
Oh, okay.
And yes. Then there's one other that did some stuff. Anyway, Dzingel's speed opens up room for other guys on his line. He's got to be the first or second guy in the zone, so that could buy someone like Natchez a little room in the neutral zone, where I think that's the biggest area where this team's been struggling lately, is in the neutral zone, specifically second periods.
Well, specifically second periods, and specifically the giveaways at the offensive blue line, which have continued to just whip our goaltending badly. Pat, and I know it's maybe a little bit early in this edition of Unpopular Opinions to ask. No. How would you rate the current tandem of Carolina Hurricanes goaltenders based upon your expectations going into game one?
B minus right now.
Okay. All right. Why?
They're not world beaters. They are not. Neither one is going to be on anyone's Vezina ballot. Agreed?
Agreed.
Okay. Mrazek has played like a starter, like someone who's going to get 2/3 to 3/4 of the games.
Right.
And he's had his stinkers, but overall, the numbers look good. The team is getting results, wins. And for all the flack Reimer's going to get, I think he's looked good in crappy situations.
And he hasn't played great. But there's been games where we have hung him out to dry. I'm likening James Reimer, a.k.a. Optimus Rhyme, to another goaltender who previously played here that many would have said the team had no confidence in and played differently in front of that goaltender. It seems like when, you know, let's use the Minnesota game, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Up early, up big.
Only because of Reimer.
Only because of Reimer. Right. Agreed. But then, I think they played too conservatively. I think they got too far away from their game and tried to pack it in a little bit too much, maybe to protect the goaltender. Whereas maybe if you have Peter Mrazek in goal, they continue to play that style of game that they do, which is pushing a la the 8-2 Ottawa game.
Right.
Here's your unpopular opinion. Minnesota is in a worse position as a franchise than Ottawa is.
Can confirm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
wait, was that unpopular then?
Well, you are the king of unpopular opinions, so I'm assuming that since you agreed, it must be very unpopular.
Yeah, I guess so. If I'm the barometer by which everything's rated as unpopular, yes.
It's unpopular in Thunder Bay.
Biggest Finnish population of all of Canada. Go figure.
Who knew?
Sod farmers, like, apparently.
Had a great new hot sauce tonight.
Oh, yeah?
From Thunder Bay. It was a pineapple habanero hot sauce.
Hmm.
Absolutely delightful. Made in Thunder Bay, Ontario. Don't know why that's important, but just felt the urge to get it out. Also, good things that come from Thunder Bay. Second line centers. Definitely not first line centers.
For one more year.
Yeah.
Did you hear that one? One more year.
Interesting. So I'd like to get your take, Pat, as someone who knows Kane's prospects or formerly knew Kane's prospects.
Freaking kids ruining all my time.
What's your take on Eetu Luostarinen?
He could be on this roster if it weren't for the salary cap right now.
I mean, he's on the roster tonight. He's playing. He has, I mean, live end game update. He has three minutes and 42 seconds of ice time in the first period, I believe.
Can't complain about that.
No. I mean, big kids playing with it, seems to be playing with a physical edge, seems to know his role and wants to fill it and doesn't want to ride buses in Charlotte anymore.
No. And he's only been doing it for a couple weeks, and he may still lead the checkers in goal scoring. Have to check that. If the corrections department could get... Oh, crap.
Son of a...
I just made more work for myself. No, I mean, he looks like he fits right in. I think he understands a bit of the nuances of the pro game. What I loved is how deep he gets on the forecheck.
Oh, yeah. I mean...
You know, his debut, he was along the offensive goal line. It seemed like every shift, everything got deep.
Well, and it seemed like particularly the previous few games without Lusterein and without Martinuk, the fourth line was getting pinned, and that was a big problem on the road. And with Martinuk back and with the guys properly slotted, we haven't had nearly that problem. And I think that shows the depth of this team, because we've got, you know, we talk about the defensive depth that we've got, but then you've got a guy like Gauthier who is down in Charlotte still getting top 6 minutes. You've got Eetu Luostarinen who can fall into that bottom six and fill in pretty well. It feels like the depth of this team is still pointing towards a very positive future for the Carolina Hurricanes, with a lot of first-round draft picks filling roles that are traditionally underslotted for guys who are drafted that high.
Yeah. And I mean, I think the other good thing is, like, we can look back at the losing streak and we can talk about, you know what, Brian Gibbons, who's been the only other real forward call up. Gauthier had his cup of coffee, but it didn't really live up to anything. He was given a couple minutes a night.
Right.
So Gibbons, he filled in well. He looked like a good penalty killer. But when they brought in Eetu Rute, it just seemed to work. He seemed to create room and space when you don't have three lines all clicking in front of him. So he was creating a different dynamic. And I think that's going to be the big story of this team going forward, is how do they change the lineup, basically, of the top nine to just keep things rolling on a consistent basis? Because that's the thing that's hurt them. When something's just slightly off, you see in the second periods of games, even the big line, the Aho line, is getting hemmed into the defensive zone. When a defenseman, you know, sends the puck up the boards to low half wall, next person can't get it off because something is off. And then that has a trickle-down effect to the rest of the lineup, and then it causes James Reimer, let's say in the Minnesota game, great first 35 to 40 minutes, and then he looked gassed in the third.
Yeah. Are we going to see Alex Nedeljkovic in the middle half of this season?
January.
Why? Is it an injury, or is a move going to be made to free up some salary cap space to potentially make a move for another forward?
I mean, if an injury happens, he's the guy that's the number one. So if Mrazek, you know, I'm going to knock on the desk again. If he were to go down for, let's just say, a week, he has to go on IR for 7 days. Ned's coming up and he's getting, you know, at least 60% of the starts.
Interesting.
Yeah. But I pinpoint January because that is the make or break month for the Canes. Right now, they're third place in the Metro. Solid position. This is November and they are in a playoff position, and it's not thanks to, you know, playing a bunch more games than other teams.
Right.
Weird territory, I know. But they get through December. They stay, you know, right above the three, or they're in one of the wild card spots. Then they play only two road games in January. It's a home heavy schedule. So it's easy to pluck Ned up from Charlotte just on a 1 day notice, send him right back down to Charlotte after the game.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to work in a little rotation. if the salary cap space is there, let's say Holla has to go on IR for a, you know, extended period of time, he can't come back to the All-Star break. Well, and there's a salary to bring up a guy or two. So it could happen.
Pat, you see the wheels turning, right? Eric Holla, and we'll dive into this. Well, let's dive into it now. Let's hell with it.
Yeah.
What's your take on the Holla knee injury? Again, it's you know, obviously has played very well for this Carolina Hurricanes club, has filled a role on the power play of I know you've got a name where you want to liken him to. I feel like he fills a role that no guy has filled since Andrew Ladd filled those roles of the garbage man, just really doing the garbage dirty work. I know you've got another name you want to throw out.
You may need to sit down for this one.
I'm trying to figure out, is he good enough on the defensive end and everything else that he does to be as important as we want to make him out to be?
He can be Matt Cullen.
Shut your filthy whore mouth.
You heard me right. He could be Matt Cullen. So I could tell was laboring.
Pat, real quick, I'm sorry. Live end game update. 10:53 left in the first intermission. Go ahead.
Oh, good.
I had to interrupt you because obviously you're high. Matt Cullen is a beautiful, lovely human being.
Okay, can we just say Holla's hair, while great flow, has nothing on Maddie.
Nothing.
Nothing.
No, okay. Not a single part. Not even at Eric Holla's ass can compare to at Matt Cullen kick fake.
Ooh. I'm getting all nostalgic all of a sudden.
There you go.
And I am not a nostalgic person. Thus, all the unpopular opinions.
Yes.
No, he complements the team in the right way, in the right slot in the lineup. Where did Matt Cullen play in the lineup in, oh, let's say, 06, 09? Yeah, where was he?
He was 3C.
He was a 3C. He could score on the power play from time to time, could he not?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was pretty responsible in his own end. And so Holla, you could tell he was struggling the second half of the Wild game on Saturday. Can you tell, you know, it was a day game because I was actually able to not only watch the game but remember specific details?
Yeah.
So he was able to cover the center. He wins draws better, I think, even more consistently sometimes than Wallmark does, who's the best faceoff guy on the team right now. At me, Stahl stands.
Oof, he's going right at you. So Pat, I'm going to ask you this. You said a couple of things. You said Eric Holla, and let's just say he can't come back until after the All-Star game. And he has to go on injured reserve.
Okay.
You brought up something interesting earlier that said if Marty Nachos, a.k.a. as we like to refer to him, Party Nachos, maybe moves to the center.
Maybe.
Let me ask you a question. There's a free agent floating around Cary.
Is he playing some tennis lately?
Who's maybe playing some tennis.
Maybe with said Party Nachos?
And potentially could fill a winger role and a second power play role alongside, I don't know, say Jordan Stahl.
Yeah.
What would be your take? Let me even take it a step further. Let me put you in turtleneck aficionado Don Waddell's shoes. You have to put Eric Holla on injured reserve, and you know this is not 2 weeks of injured reserve. This is 2 months of injured reserve. Is your first call to Charlotte, or is your first call to former captain Justin Williams?
It's to Charlotte.
Ooh, welcome to the unpopular opinion part. This is what I've been waiting for. Gimme.
I don't know how it would work in the CBA, but if Justin Williams wants to play in the spring and in the playoffs, you heard me. I said the playoff word. I said the P word.
Hey, it's almost American Thanksgiving, and we are currently set to play the New York Long Islanders in the first round of the playoffs.
Oh, how might that go? I wonder. So, Williams needs at least a month of practice to get up to game speed. He's a smart, cerebral guy, but if the legs aren't there, the legs aren't there. And it's just going to take time to get into it, and he has to be eased back in so he can do the things that he can do. So, I don't know if you can get – he's not going to sign a tryout. Maybe he can just sign some medical waiver and just practice with the team before he signs a contract. I don't know the ins and outs. We might need to put in a call to Mr. Workrate to get to see what would actually happen.
Could he actually sign an AHL-only level contract and play with Charlotte for a couple of weeks and not even really play but just practice?
He could.
I mean, that's kind of –
There's nothing stopping in his way. The only – I don't know if that would hurt the Checkers with some sort of weird veteran player
maximum. Yeah.
But I don't think he ever played in the AHL outside of, you know, a couple games here or there. So,
I mean,
that could work.
I mean, if he's got some eligibility left, maybe he could play alongside former Section 328er and local celebrity H. Wade Minter at NC State.
Oh, yeah. Or you know what he could do? He could loan me $4,000 and come and play with me at the alumni game just announced in early January.
Ooh, good question. Does Justin Williams play in the alumni game?
Absolutely not. If he plays in that game, he's not coming back.
Yeah, but he could go Jesse Bolaris and score like 6 goals.
Can you count the number of goals Jesse Bolaris scored in the Sightless Eye?
Yes, if you give me access to HockeyDB for a second.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, I know. Okay.
And honestly, those were shots on Wade, who I have to go see in approximately 1 hour and skate with.
Yeah.
It's those don't count.
Gotcha. All right, Pat. We've talked about Holla. We've given your unpopular opinion that it would be better to pull up a Charlotte Checker than it would be to add Brian Gibbons to the lineup. So now I ask you this, Pat.
Okay.
As we roll through this weekend, we roll through the Florida game and we get into next week, and we hit that pivotal mark that is American Thanksgiving.
Also known as Thanksgiving.
Correct. How excited will you be, Pat Clark, known hater of all things, that the Carolina Hurricanes are in a playoff position at American Thanksgiving for the first time in God knows how long?
Ecstatic. You know why?
Why?
I don't think they played anywhere close to their best hockey yet. I think the Ottawa game, the 8-2 win, was the closest to a complete game that they played all season.
Better than the 4-0 Chicago game at home.
Yes.
Really?
Really. There were just some lulls in that Chicago game for me. And let's be honest, the Blackhawks have no defense.
You're right.
At least Ottawa has a former team dad
and Ron Hainsey.
And Ron Hainsey. And a, you know, serviceable Nikita Zaitsev. So.
And they've got a Chariot or a Shabbat or
one of those. An 8x8, you know, future Norris winner. Yeah.
And by future Norris winner, you're talking about the guy who currently is in second place in Norris voting, Dougie Hamilton. What is it going to take for Dougie Hamilton to beat John Carlson in the Norris voting this year? Because Mark Giordano has proven to be a one-year wonder, correct?
No, he got his Lifetime Achievement Award last season.
Okay.
Because that's what the Norris is. John Carlson. I think Dougie can give a funnier interview. So if Mike Sondheim is listening, get him on a little press tour. Get every beat writer from The Athletic to, you know, warm up to the guy just that much more. And somehow he's going to win a Norris. It'll probably be in 2 years to make up for this season, but he'll still get it.
I like that. I mean, I'm trying to think back. When was the last time we had Jeff Skinner won the Calder. I mean, is that the last time the Hurricanes won a major award? The last one I think of before that would be Brenda Moore with the Selkie.
Yep. And then the only other time was Francis winning King Clancy. Don't yes. quote me on that, but
yeah,
I'm
yeah,
pretty
he,
sure
he,
that
he won a Clancy.
Those are the only major award winners. I mean, I'm trying to think. I mean, Williams went for the Mark Messier. I just get thrown a couple names and picked the guy who got traded, but was still a great leader award. So he went to the award show for that one.
Yeah.
But other than that, I don't remember the last time. I think we've had a couple guys up for the Masterton, but not for the player awards.
Yeah. No. So it's going to be interesting. Could be a couple of Hurricanes up for awards this year. Talking, we're at the quarter pole here of the season. We didn't show prep this. Let's go NHL awards at the quarter pole. Who's okay. Who's your MVP?
Leon Draisaitl.
Dead German Gretzky. The guy we wanted more than anything. Mm-hmm. Anything. That's all I wanted.
It just justifies we knew what we were talking about.
Yes.
And we still do.
We still don't.
You know what? He has been objectively and subjectively better than McDavid so far.
Currently on a 160-point pace, which would be the best pace by any player since.
Oh, I gotta say Mario.
Mario Lemieux, who scored 161 goals, 161 points.
In what, 40 games?
I believe it was 1998, maybe? 94? I don't know. It was in the 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah. First number hadn't clicked to a 2.
Yeah, because it was the start of the dead puck era. So
yeah, it's that was fun. Who's your Norris?
Oof.
I mean, Carlson's got 33 points right now.
Something about Washington is a little wacky. They're a little off right now, but I can't not give it to him until the season series between Washington and Carolina is over.
Yeah.
Because I think
at which point then Dougie Hamilton is the odds on Norris yeah, favorite.
But they haven't played, so you know, respect where respect is.
Well different. No, we've played one game. We went to Washington and won a game.
Oh yeah.
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 Yeah. Second, third game of the season. I seem to remember that.
Yeah.
Brock McGinn scores goals in that building, if I recall. Who's your Jack Adams? Lots of interesting choices.
This one's
here.
Tough.
I mean, you see what's going on in Edmonton. You see what's going on in Vancouver. You see what's going on with, I mean, so many. Is this finally the year that Trotz gets it? Because they were like, oh yeah, no, he lost Leonard. Finally the Isle's gonna come back to life, and sure enough, they are sure as hell Trotz in the Trotz.
Live in pod corrections department update.
Okay.
Trotz won it last year. And he's the front runner right now.
Oh yeah.
I think he will be the first guy to win it back to back since probably some guy in Montreal who everyone loved.
I'm going to go because I believe there are 200 hockey men that are going to vote on this award. I think it's going to be Joel Quenneville.
But is he exceeding expectations?
I think that Florida team is going to continue to get better. I think Montreal is way over their skate tips right now. Boston's going to continue to be Boston.
Yeah.
Toronto's in trouble. Mike Babcock's going to be fired in the next.
So
two weeks.
I'm glad you brought that up. So okay. is his replacement going to be the odds-on favorite? Just because they'll get the stick out of their ass and actually, you know, look like they give a damn.
So who's going to be the odds-on favorite to take Mike Babcock's job in Toronto?
I floated this one out there before. I want to see this happen. I need to see this happen. I want to see Bruce Boudreau be freed from that circus that is the Minnesota Wild. Because none of it's his fault.
Right.
And give him an offensive powerhouse in the making with the Maple Leafs.
I'm gonna throw you a curveball.
All right.
That I'm going to hate. I believe that there is a team in the Western Conference that has reached the end of their rope with a coach that is famous for reaching the end of his rope. that is also very famous for taking offensively talented teams, pushing them as hard as he can, and getting the most out of them. I think the first coach fired in the National Hockey League this season, not named Mike Babcock, is going to be Peter Laviolette. And if Peter Laviolette is fired by the Nashville Predators, is it he Kyle Dubas's first and only call?
Yeah.
I mean, I because see that, it. That team, I mean, that Nashville team was supposed to contend this year. They were set up. I mean, they've got Forsberg. They just signed Josi to that big contract. They've continued to deliver, and their window is potentially closing, and all of a sudden you have a team in the Predators who are way underperforming.
But are they underperforming? I mean, I don't know. They're not lighting the league on fire. They're currently just outside a wild card spot.
Right. They are currently out of the playoffs as of American Thanksgiving, which is the death knell for every team, Pat.
But here's the thing. Every team that's in front of them that it looks like a playoff team. Sorry, Chicago Blackhawks. Sorry, Anaheim Ducks.
Live in-game update, 53 seconds into the second period. Goal, the 10th goal of the season by the one, the only, Andre Svechnikov. Assist to Jay Stahl.
So Svech.
And Steady Eddie. So
did you just say Lee Stepniak?
No, Steady Eddie. So that's
yeah,
goal.
Yeah. Can we, all
goal,
right.
Svechnikov. I'm sorry. Yeah, with the assist, not to Stahl, but to Jake Slavin and okay. Steady Eddie.
All right. We'll get back to the Predators in a minute. Okay. This Eddie nickname just isn't working for me. How's that for an unpopular opinion?
I believe John Forslund just told you could F off.
Well, he's allowed. He's yes. A future Hall of Famer, so.
How many more years before he gets the Foster Hewitt? We're everywhere tonight, and I love this about the podcast. Where's Derek?
Oh, this no comment. this is like the other podcast that I do that a fraction of the audience has heard of.
Yeah. How long before Forslund gets his Foster Hewitt? I mean, as the number two guy on NBC, as a guy who has been with this franchise for well over 25 years, I mean, isn't it time to recognize John Forslund as one of the preeminent voices in all of hockey?
He is due. I'm going to say this, though. He's a little young for it. I could see a scenario where after Doc Emrick gives up the number one chair at NBC Sports, you know, it's basically his should he want it. The only reason he doesn't get it is because he's not based in the Northeast. So, you know, who's the Rangers broadcaster for MSG?
Albert.
Kenny Albert.
Yeah.
He gets the assignments, and he is very good, and I enjoy listening to his games, but he's going to get the assignments because he's in the tri-state area and they happen to own a bunch of networks up there. Uh, 2024. Let's put a number on it. Let's put a year on it. 2024.
The Foster year Hewitt. Foster Hewitt for John Forslund and Rod Brindamore gets into the Hall of Fame.
Rod Brindamore is not a Hall of Famer. There, I said it.
Wow. Wow, that concludes this week's episode of the Unpopular Opinions Podcast.
Well,
Jesus H. Christ.
Thank you for having me on the podcast.
Next thing you're going to know.
Next
thing you're going to
Please send
say,
all donations to my lovely family. I love you, Rachel. No, I think he is in the Hall of Very Good. I think he's going to get in. Based on my own criteria, I'm not so sure he would.
Interesting.
As a player, I
think we take this as a combined hockey career. This is,
but
is
there
Rod,
are specific.
Is Rod Brindamore's coaching acumen and what he's doing with this team bolstering his Hall of Fame resume?
Technically, by the bylaws of the Hall of Fame selection committee, no. Will it? Abso-frickin-lutely. So I do think he will get in one day. I think in the next 2 years, I think he will get in before Forsling.
Interesting.
I could see a scenario where he gets elected this upcoming June, because the number of first year eligibles, not so great. I saw a headline where someone suggested Jerome Iginla, first ballot Hall of Fame,
100%.
Highlight the nominees for up and coming players. So
yeah, I mean Doan is good at not dying.
Doan is good at sticking around a long time,
right?
Which is a check in Brindy's box,
right? I mean, but I mean, in that case, is Captain Canada Ryan Smith getting in the Hall of Fame?
I don't know. It's technically the Hockey Hall of Fame, so all those Team Canada jerseys he owns probably bolster his support, but no, he's not getting in.
There you go. All right, Pat, we've been meandering around this podcast for the better part of 45 minutes. Let's just open up the cheat mailbox and let's see what the people had to say here. Most of the questions were about Knishes from All-American on Long Island, from Work Rate and the Work Rate family, so our apologies for the lack of Knish commentary tonight.
I'm from upstate. I have no idea what they're talking about. That's like a foreign language to me.
So let me hit you with this one from our good friend and former Section 328er Ben Moser. As we approach the holiday season and perhaps don't have the time to dedicate to the team that we'd like to, what are your suggestions for quickly determining which direction to be overreacting in from week to week as we go through this holiday season? Great question, Ben Moser.
Even days, all the praise. Odd days, just freak the F out on Twitter.
I like that. I like that. I think if Ben takes that, balances it with his political commentary, he's going to be all over the place, and I think that's going to feed every part of the ego and the id that we all need to feed on social media. Pat, what do you got for me?
There you go. All right. Here's one from a few days ago. They jumped the gun, but since we mentioned this person by name... From at McWinnen, should the Carolina Hurricanes extend Eric Halla and Joel Edmondson?
No.
Would you extend either of them?
I would, at this point in the season, absolutely consider a one-year extension for Joel Edmondson.
That is the correct answer.
I believe Joel Edmondson is a talent on this team that we do not only not have on the team, but we don't have an abundance of in the minor leagues. We have Jake Bean. We have Chase Prisky. We have guys who could come up. If Hayden Fleury could deliver Joel Edmondson-like results, I would say there would not be a need because you have the same guy in Fleury, but I don't know if Fleury is ever going to be given the chance by this coaching staff, because I think the coaching staff has lost confidence in him. Ooh. Regardless of whether or not he actually has the capability, I think he is going to suffer the same fate as many before him who have earned their way into the doghouse due to a small sample size and are thereby going to end up on the heap of discarded canes.
TVR will be traded by the trade deadline.
I absolutely can see that as well.
Yeah, there you go.
Because again, you've got guys like Prisky and Bean and Fleury who could fill that role at a lower rate, mm-hmm. giving this team increasingly more cap flexibility.
So prior to TVR getting back into the lineup, I will actually say the Ottawa game and, what was the game sandwiched in between? But I thought Fleury played some of his best hockey of
Buffalo.
His career. Buffalo. There was one 50-50 puck situation, led to a goal against. Fleury is just like, you know, what are you going to do? Otherwise, I haven't had a complaint about his game. This has been signed by the president of the Hayden Fleury Fan Club. Send your replies and and post-game notes to your trash can because I don't care. I don't want to hear it. Halla is in Furland territory. Can we just say that?
Oh, absolutely.
You know, if the knee can heal fully and he can stay healthy, I'd consider an extension. But so someone asked me this question, 2 weeks at a tailgate, and I said, I would do it, but it's not going to happen anytime soon.
Yeah. I don't know if this is necessarily a question, but this is from at Caniac176. Not a question, but more just wanting to hear an unpopular opinion from Pat Clark regarding this year's team. So for one for Mr. McLaughlin. Give us a strong, unpopular opinion that Matt Soma, a.k.a. Canes Prospects, started this out there on Hurricanes Twitter earlier today. I know I dropped a couple. I saw a couple other people. But you, as the chief unpopular opinion giver, really looking forward to where you go here. It's your unpopular opinion that Alex Trebek. Don't go there. People won't like that.
No, I won't channel my inner SNL. This team is going to drive us nuts until April and then go on a run to the Stanley Cup final. They are not a roster built for the regular season. They are built for the playoffs.
Ooh, that I like that. That's an unpopular opinion around hockey, not necessarily an unpopular opinion on Caniac Twitter.
I can't tell what's popular and what's unpopular these days.
My unpopular opinion earlier today was that the Carolina Hurricanes could have won the Cup with Martin Gerber alone and would have been better off had they remained with him.
Yep. 39 wins in the regular season. Still a franchise record.
Yep. Pat, you got any more for me? I know you had one that you were very interested to give me.
Oh, yes. Hold on. This was one that I could not answer myself. Well, I have an answer, but where is it here? Okay, from Dustin Boudreau at MGO Puck.
Yes, Michigan aficionado.
Oh, I love this guy already.
I know, right?
All
right.
Is soup an acceptable year-round meal or only once the temperature drops? Go.
See, I have a lot of caveats to this, Pat. Soup is absolutely an acceptable year-round meal if you are sick. Because chicken soup is soup, and if you're sick in the summer, chicken soup will make you feel better.
And I've heard it's good for the soul.
It is good for the soul. Now, my question is chowder soup? Because I, during the summer, enjoy a very nice New England clam chowder. And now, if a chowder is a soup, then I believe soup is a good year-round meal regardless of health status. If chowder is not a soup, I do not want to get stuck having to only eat gazpacho in July, at which point I will turn his soup into just a cold weather thing. Personally, I'm Irish. Chowder all year long. Hearty soups only in the winter.
As a fellow Irishman.
Yes. Noted Irishman.
I have potato soup. That's my go-to.
Yes.
When I'm sick, I have, you know, the chicken noodle because that's what you do.
Yes.
That's what the nuns taught us. But I was watching Batman Returns over the weekend.
Okay.
And this is a familiar word. Vichyssoise.
Oh, vichyssoise.
It's a good cold soup, apparently. I'm sure everyone from the Quebecois is familiar with it because it's a very French soup. There's some debate that it would start in America, but it is a cold soup. I could get down with a cold soup in the summer.
I think we have our answer here.
Yes.
We all wish chowder were soup.
Yeah.
Hey, folks, that's going to be it, I think, for this week's episode of Cheaters Never Win, a.k.a. Unpopular Opinions. Again, thank you guys for listening. Thank you to our sponsors. Again, Dawn from Fathom Realty. You can find her at becauseitshome.com. She is at Kaniac_Realtor over on the Twitters.
Respect that underscore.
We also have a delicious beer sponsor. Pat and I have been sitting here sipping on a little Voodoo Ranger.
Thank God it's not 100 degrees out.
Yeah, I know. But thank you to all of our friends over at New Belgium Brewing for continuing to sponsor this podcast, the live podcast, which are going to be coming at you very soon, as well as the sponsor tailgate. More details coming in the very near future. And Pat, I do have one more thing I did want to highlight. Yes. This Saturday night's game is Hockey Fights Cancer
yes.
Night. Very important night. If you don't have your tickets, get out. Go out there, support it. Great causes. You can get the, you know, Hockey Fights Cancer beanie. You've got the ties. I think the Canes do a great job with this. The Carolina Hurricanes have picked 500 cancer fighters and survivors and folks who are being honored. I believe their numbers are going to be stitched on the back of the jerseys on Saturday night. I know it is going to be a very emotional night for a lot of folks. I know this Canes community has been touched too many times by cancer. Most recently, we all feared for Mike Maniscalco. Thankfully, his sexy beast ass is back on camera being healthy and doing what he does. But I wanted to say a personal thank you to the Canes because my mom is currently in a battle. Her name will be on the back of one of the jerseys on Saturday night. If I'm being completely honest, that might be one of the reasons that this podcast hasn't been as regular as it should have been. So thoughts to all of you guys who have been supportive of me through this, and shout out to Mom, who continues to kick ass in the battle of her life, fighting stage four right now.
I know it's tough. I went through this with my mother-in-law, and it hits everybody.
Yep.
There's no other. The only thing you can say is fuck cancer.
Yep. F it. Hug somebody that you love. Take care of each other. Until then, my name's Mike.
I'm Pat.
Derek's not here, but that's okay. He will be back soon. We'll talk to you guys soon. Come hug me on Saturday night. I'd love that. Bye, y'all.